I'm so happy to be back in Germany, actually. I was counting the days. I was for 3 months on a tour. We started in Central America and then went south to Florida, where it was so hot and damp that the crocodiles came out of their lakes into the settlements of the humans. And yeah, it was not easy. They were very hungry, and a few children died in Florida at that time. So then I went to New York for a wonderful celebration. You could call it a spiritual street festival, the Ratha Yatra Festival. I have never seen so many devotees of Krishna in one place. The whole Fifth Avenue was full with the chanting of the holy name. Then we went to a yoga place, the Super Soul Farm, where we engaged with a very nice crowd in meditation. You know, there's Raghunath at Kostuba. Maybe you have seen the podcast. It is called The Wisdom of the Sages. And then we went to New Vrindavan. We had a very nice japa retreat. I still remember, you know, there were almost 200 devotees who were learning to chant with this deep meditative absorption, and we had them distributed in a rose garden. The rose garden japa retreat was very beautiful. Then I went to Los Angeles and Silicon Valley and Austria and Italy and Germany and Belgium and Switzerland, and now I'm here. It is very nice to again be home, and I really use this time. You will find me sitting by the lake. There will be not many people around me, only a few ducks. You will find me on benches in the morning chanting, because yes, it is good if we contribute to the welfare of others. Yes, it is good if we travel and go outside, but all this will become hollow and just external without really contacting the Lord in the heart, in that sacred space. So today, at the end of this class, I want to guide you in a meditation which will hopefully help all of us to go in that inner space where we are already perfect, where we are already where we have reached. See, in spiritual life, you have only two questions at the end. Who am I? And who are you? Not any theoretical answers to this question, who am I? But a deeply realized answer. And the second question, who are you really? When the spiritualists ask this question, he doesn't necessarily look for another philosophical definition of the absolute truth. No, he wants to actually experience the presence of God within his own heart. So for this you need a little peace. The storm in the mind has to calm down. The 1,000 urgent things who always knock at our lives have to stand by the side and make room for this greatest adventure of the human being, to find an answer to this question, who am I and who are you? Very. So you will find me at the banks of lakes, at the benches in the early morning hour, and I have only these two questions: who am I and who are you? So today is a day where we can all collect blessings, divine blessings, so that it becomes a little bit clearer for us who we actually really are, when all the things which we are not fall to the side. But so I will open the class with a little Jayalala Marava. Jai Radha, Madhava, Punya Vihari,
I'm
Nanda Rama ki
Jai,
Lord Balaram ki
Jai,
Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you affectionately for this class which goes into a meditation on Lord Balaram. Today is a good day to collect blessings. Blessings are coming from beyond our own strengths, beyond our intelligence, beyond our own, let us say, abilities. Blessings are given by God Himself. Blessings move us forward in ways that we could never do alone without blessings. So, who is Baladev, of whom we will, request today from about blessings? See, when Krishna appeared in this world, and he will appear in 8 days, is his birthday, his Jamashtami day, there were very difficult circumstances on the planet Earth. The Earth was really overcrowded by, you can say, very, very materialistic politicians who were collecting huge armies to battle for their own gain, really. And it became so intolerable on the earth that something needed to be done. So Lord Brahma, who is the secondary creator of this world, he sits on the higher planet, thought the only one who can help is the Lord Vishnu himself. So he went with a big number of devatas, including Lord Shiva, to the milk ocean, sat down in meditation, and afterwards chanted the Purusha Shukta prayers. He only had one desire: please, my dear Lord, the world has gone out of balance, appear. And he heard within his heart a response from Lord Vishnu. He said, yes, I will incarnate, I will come into this universe, and you all, devatas, you celestial beings, your higher beings, should also come. You should take birth in the Yadu dynasty and assist me in my mission to take away the demoniac influence, to protect the sadhus, and to help balance the dharma, that is the cosmic law of righteousness. So the Lord wanted to appear, but first his appearance needed to be prepared. So his first he expanded into the form of Balaram or Sankarshan, who appeared in the womb of the princess Devaki. There is a verse which says, talks about this. Vasudeva kalantaha sahasravaranasvarat agrato bhavito devo hare priya shikirshaya. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Balaram or Sankarshan, who is also known as Ananta. Ananta means the one who knows no limits. He, this Balaram, is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. So previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Lord will appear as Baladev, Balaram, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So, he came into the womb of this princess Devaki. Devaki had given birth before to six sons. All of them were brutally killed by the emperor of the times, Kamsa. We heard how the world was overrun by really, I'm sorry to say this, I don't like to use this language, but you have to use it. They were demoniac rulers. So this Kamsa killed the six sons of Devaki right after they were born. There was a reason for this, but I don't want to get here so much into the detail. So when Balaram came, he was the seventh child in the womb of Devaki. And of course Kamsa would again come and try to kill him. So before this happened, Krishna gave his divine energy Yogamaya an order. Yogamaya, you carry this child from Devaki's womb into the womb of Rohini. Devaki is the wife of Vasudev, and Vasudev, as it was custom at that time, had also other wives, and one wife, Rohini, was staying in Braj or Vrindavan. So Krishna said, take this child who's in the womb of Devaki and bring her into the womb of Rohini. Wow! That sounds like embryo transplantation. But it was done without scalpel, without anesthesia. It was done by divine energy. The child, Balaram, was brought by the energy of Yoga Maya, that divine energy's name, into the womb of another woman, so that he was safe. So Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, and he assisted the Lord in the past, in the past times. I would like to read to you a little bit from the transcendental scriptures about Krishna and Balaram, how they spent their time together in the transcendental land of Vrindavan. Krishna appeared a little later than Balaram in Vrindavan. There are beautiful descriptions, and I hope I find them for you, because they are really good. Yeah, it must be. So they were together, Krishna and Balaram, in the forest of Vrindavan, as in the company of their cowherd boyfriends. And the cowherd boys said, O Rama, mighty armed one, they spoke to Balaram. And O Krishna, destroyer of those who disturb Dharma, not far from here is a very great forest filled with rows of palm trees. Would you like to chant this? It's a very beautiful Sanskrit verse. Yes? Okay, so say after me. Rama Rama
Rama Rama
Mahabaho
Mahabaho
Krishna
Krishna
Dushta Nibarhana
Dushta Nibarhana.
Very good, very good. So you have just said, O Rama Rama Balaram, mighty armed one, O Krishna, destroyer of all that is inauspicious. Very close by are these palm trees with these beautiful trees. Many, many fruits have already fallen from the trees. They are lying on the ground. But we can't go and enjoy these fruits because they are guarded by the evil donkey, Denuka. This Denuka would guard this forest where the beautiful fruits were there and no one could enjoy them. And then the cowherd boys continued, O Rama, O Krishna, Denuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of a donkey, an ass. He's surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he is. So it was known that anyone who came in this forest that was guarded by these asuras, these demons, were eaten alive. The demon Denuka has eaten men alive. And therefore, all people are terrified. They don't dare to go into the forest. Not even birds and smaller animals are afraid, are going there. They are afraid to go. So the cowherd boys are very interested in these fruits because they say the sweet smelling fruits have not been tasted by anyone. Indeed, their smell is spreading all around. Oh Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire to have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, let's go to that Tala forest. So, it was known that Denukasura was able to shift into various forms, but most of the time this magical lord of magic, this Denuka, was in a form of a donkey, and he was guarding these fruits and made a very, very strong vine from them, which he would send partly to Kamsa in Mathura to intoxicate himself. But he would eat a lot of those Tala fruits himself. So when Krishna and Balaram heard the desires of their dear friends, they laughed. And desiring to please them, they went to the Talavan forest surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. So when Lord Balaram entered the forest, he went to one of the biggest trees and began to shake them so that the fruits would come raining down with a loud crashing sounds. And Denuka, who was sleeping nearby, was violently awakened because when Balaram was shaking the tree, the whole earth was trembling. And the powerful demon rush towards Balaram. Now, I don't know if you have ever been attacked by a donkey. If you have, and it was a strong donkey, you have noticed they come at you, and then they turn around and they kick you with their hind legs, where their force is the strongest. So Denukasura did exactly the same thing. He brayed, he galloped, and he came to her before Lord Balaram. He turned around and he was readying himself for a deadly kick. But Lord Balaram took Denuka by the hooves and whirled him about with one hand like this and threw him into the top of a palm tree. And this tree then fell on top of another tree which could not bear the weight. And in this way, a lot of trees and their fruits came crashing down one after the other. Soon enough, the friends of Denukasura also attacked, and they were disposed in the same way. You could call it the whirlwind method. When we hear such a pastime, we are thinking, oh, this is quite, it's like a story, a mythological story. What is the significance for me? Well, there's a great significance for all of us. Denukasura, who worked to get these fruits, is representing a certain type of ignorance that makes us forget our spiritual purpose in life. Just like Denuka was working for the fruits, a person who has forgotten his spiritual identity becomes very, very much eager to work for the fruits of this world. So Denuka means the ignorance of the truth that I'm actually a spiritual soul, a part of God, and the material world cannot make me happy, no matter how I try. I've just heard from there is a very fantastic course in the London University. Forgot exactly. London School. What is it, Aka? What?
London Business
School. So they have made an investigation to find out which section of our populace is the most happy ones. The teenagers is it the working people who work between, let us say, 20 to 65 years, or when, which people are the most happy? And the interesting thing is, it's the people who are not the ones who are working and fulfilling their desires. It's not the people who are dreaming of material successes when they're teenagers. It's the people who are old. And can you imagine why they are the most happy?
So they need something from the outside.
They don't need things on the outside. The old people need even, I think they need a lot, you know, the more comfort, warm bed and warm shower. But what is the thing? They are free from the whip of expectation. They don't expect anymore so much from life. They don't have these illusory drives like we young people have, that if I have this, then it's right. Or if I meet this partner who is fulfilling my expectations, then I'm all right. The older people have learned from life that things never turn out the way you expect them to turn out. And they have learned to be content. They are, to speak, to use a word which the Berliner would say, they're more cool. This point is very nicely addressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. See, most people suffer from this mentality which is characterized to be the donkey mentality. Donkey, what does a donkey do? The donkey works so hard. I mean, I have seen in India donkeys who carry huge amount of burdens. They carry on the left side something, then on the right side, and you can't sometimes see the donkey. There's so much burden on them. And why do they do this? Well, they think, if I'm carrying this, if I'm working like this, then I'm entitled to get a little grass from my master. There is enough grass everywhere. Ananda Nitai can confirm this.
Yes.
There is enough everywhere, but the donkey mentality means I have to work very hard to fulfill my own expectations in myself and into life. And only if I do this, then I'm entitled to be happy. But this is an illusion. There is a very nice verse in this connection I would like to share with you. It's one of the my favorite. One moment. Yasmin idam satasat atmataya vibhati maya viveka. It's the wrong one. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma shayam gratitam ut gratayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruddha shoto ganastam aranam vajava. The devotees who are not in this Denuka mood, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, can very easily overcome heart-knotted desires for material activities. Because this is very difficult. The non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. My dear everyone, there's a knot, an invisible knot in the heart. It's the Denuka knot. It's the mentality in the heart which just gives you such strong expectations in this world, that and the drive inside your heart to work very hard for the fruits of this world. Like Denuka, he was there with his followers, his friends, and they were working from morning to evening to take care of these
fruits and to enjoy these fruits. A spiritualist must be free from the Denuka mentality in the heart, this drive. This one lie, it's the oldest lie. It's not Goebbels' lie, it's Hitler's lie. It's even older. There is one lie which is the most persistent lie. There is one lie which is also the most dangerous lie for your own spiritual integrity. It is the lie that if you pursue things different from your self-realization, you will be satisfied. It's a lie that if you somehow try to massage the material energy so that it fulfills your expectations, that then you will be happy. In the process of trying to run after this lie, so many good men and women have killed themselves and have become utterly frustrated and lifelike. In the attempt to fulfill this lie, so many devotees of Krishna have left the spiritual path and are internally not full of life and internally frustrated. So Baladev, Balaram, is now confronting Denukasura. Denukasura, this materialistic mentality, he represents the materialistic mentality, is confronted. Who is this Balaram? Yes, we have heard he's the first expansion from Krishna. But that may be a little bit far away from our daily life. First expansion of Krishna. What does this mean? Yes, we have heard Balaram is the source of all the incarnations which appear in this world. But we may not think about Nishinga, Varaha, Koma, and Buddha. We may be so much engaged in our own little world. But there's one form of Balaram which stands right before every soul. It's the Guru, the spiritual teacher. When you meet a genuine spiritual teacher, he will raise his voice and will tell you, hey, there's Denuka, be careful. There is this mentality within you which runs after the material fruits and brings you away from your spiritual identity. Look here. At the moment you have lost your knowledge about your spiritual identity, at the moment you suffer from ignorance because you don't have a relationship with Krishna. At the moment you think Krishna and his name are so very different and it's all so far away from me. When you meet Balaram, which is the guru principle, you will always meet a shock in your life because your material ways are questioned and you are requested to wake up to your spiritual identity, to your being part, your understanding, I'm the part of Krishna. I should engage in his service. And at that moment, you will become strong on your spiritual path. My dear everyone, I have very good news for you. There is a solution to our main problem. The main problem is we have knowledge, but we cannot apply it. We are spiritually too weak. I think everyone on this call and everyone in the room has a lot of spiritual knowledge. Some of you suffer from overdoses of lectures and so on. And your imagination is not grabbed really by another nice spiritual point. Why is this tiredness to hear more spiritual instruction? It's because we know, but we cannot act. And that is something very frustrating. when you meet Balaram, or when you meet the Guru principle, and you connect with a real spiritual teacher, you will get the strength to apply your knowledge. If you do not run away, which most do, you will actually learn to apply spiritual knowledge. There is a very nice purport. Prabhupada explains this. He says, significant are the words jnanasinam achuta bala jnanasim. This word of knowledge is given by Krishna. Like you can read the Bhagavad Gita and you get all the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna's own mouth. And then you need to serve the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions. Balaram gives one the strength. So Balaram, as I said, is the Guru principle. You know, there is the Samasti Guru, the principle, and then there are many Vyasti Gurus, individual Gurus. But Balaram represents the Samasti Guru, that is the principle of spiritual teacher. And if you meet him, if you asked such a spiritual teacher for instructions, if you serve him, no, and if you remain in a submissive mood, you will all of a sudden see how you obtain the strength to apply the spiritual knowledge. I remember when I was young, my first service was to translate the Bhagavad Gita from English into German. I don't think I did a good job because I was just so new with the philosophy and so on. And I remembered, as a translator, you have to engage with the text. So I knew the text of the Gita. But only when I started to really do service, for me it was book distribution. I went out into the streets of Germany and I distributed the Bhagavad Gita to people whom I hoped would be interested in this. And I remember when I went down from the level of theoretical knowledge, that is just appreciating the knowledge, to the level where I served my spiritual master with something practical, which I did, where I really left my comfort zone, then the spiritual knowledge started to become revealed to me. My dear everyone, there is such a great difference between knowledge and knowledge. There is such a great difference between information and information. There is such a great knowledge, a difference between book knowledge and realized knowledge. It is amazing. So this type of jump from the, or shift from the theoretical knowledge to the practical knowledge or realized knowledge, in Sanskrit it's called this shift from jnana, theoretical knowledge, and vijnana, realized knowledge, is only possible if you get spiritual strength. Alone, our brain, of which we are so proud, and our intelligence, of which we are so impressed, will only steer us to material life. It cannot bring us to something higher. By definition, because the mind and the intelligence is material. If you stand with your mind and your intelligence before spiritual knowledge, you will never understand it. You don't have the strength to shift from the material to the spiritual understanding. But by service to a bona fide teacher,
bona fide spiritual master who is a representative of Baladev, you can all of a sudden enter the land of Bhava. That is, you can see with eyes that are touched with love, and then you can really see. Then you can really see. This is Balaram's mercy. And therefore today is a good day to ask for blessings. I think all of you have some type of spiritual teachers. It doesn't need to be in one lineage, in one sampradaya. It needs to be bona fide saints who are rooted in spiritual understanding. They all represent the Samasti Guru, the Guru which is God. No? They are Vyasti Gurus, that is individual Gurus who are connected with the Vyasti Guru. Some of you who do not have found a spiritual teacher, I think you have read wisdom texts which have really touched you. You can also approach these teachers. Some of you are too rebellious to even think there is someone more knowledgeable than your own mind. You can think of the great souls who came before you, who have gone the path. Somehow or other, to connect to Balaram on his appearance day means to connect with the tattva of Balaram. That is the spiritual master who can open our eyes that are so materially conditioned, that can help our vision. Such teachers can give us strength just by contact with them. And then our path becomes clear. I remember I had one god brother, his name was Krishna Das. He really went through a difficult period. His wife left him. He had a jeweler's business, and somehow the course went down and he lost his entire business. So he came to my spiritual master and he said, "Prabhupada, my life has so many difficulties at the moment. I think I'm under the versus stars. I'm walking under dark stars." he said the name Rahu. Those of you who know Vedic astrology know Rahu or Shani. These are the two rascals, you know, the real bad stars. And Prabhupada said, "With one kick of my foot, I can remove the influence of Rahu, of thousands of Rahus." Was Prabhupada a little bit overemphasizing it? Was he making two big words? Let me tell you something about Srila Prabhupada that will make you understand him a little bit. I heard this from Giriraj Maharaj. Once Prabhupada gave a lecture in London in the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he turned to his audience and he said, "The difference between you and me is that you can fall down from the spiritual level and I cannot." Wow. "The difference between you and me," said Prabhupada, "is that you can fall down from the spiritual level and I cannot." So he completed or finished his lecture after some time. He got up from his seat and he went to the deities and he prayed. So when he was finished praying and he paid his obeisances and he went out of the temple room, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Prabhupada, I'm very interested. What did you pray for?" Prabhupada said that I will not fall down and that the material energy will not overwhelm me. So the disciple said, but Prabhupada, you've just said that you cannot fall down, and now I'm hearing you're praying for protection so that you don't fall down. And then Prabhupada said, because I constantly pray, therefore the protection is there. And I believe here we find the mystery of the Guru Tattva, the Guru principle. They are connected to a strength that is higher than them. They are connected to Balaram. And invite everyone really to be connected to that divine strength. So Balaram, for me, when I hear his, let us say, about his divine part, he's the first expansion of Krishna, I always think, expansions. I don't think so much about these things. When I hear about Krishna Balaram's pastime, I like them very much, but I don't talk about this in public because I don't know if my audience likes it. And I think it's a very confidential part. So that also is something more private. But when I hear Lord Balaram is Krishna's first expansion, and he is the Guru Tattva who takes care of them into this dark world, a little bit light and empowerment comes, then I'm very joyful, and I want to share this joy with you. I want to inspire you also to connect with this higher principle, because then you have a higher power that works in you, so on. Shri Balaram ki Jai. So I would like to now request you, let us meditate just very briefly about Lord Balaram. Are you into it?
Yes.
Good.
I
have to see with the time. Yes, we. And then after this we can see what we will do then. Take an upright physical position. Just sit tall. Bring your attention to your legs and relax. Bring your attention to your upper body. The lower back, the upper back, the shoulders, and relax. Bring your attention to your head, back of the neck, the back of the head, the forehead, the eyes, the mouth, and relax. Do a very quick body scan, start from your legs, go up, including your head, and appreciate how you have become still, how you are more relaxed. Now bring your attention to your in and outgoing breath. We try to make conscious breaths. You breathe in, know that you breathe in. And when you breathe out, stay with your outgoing breath. Let's do this for a few rounds of breath, a few cycles. Deep in and outgoing breaths. Now breathe into your heart space. Imagine that on an inhale, you breathe through your nose, down your throat, and into your heart. And as you breathe into your heart, see a full moon there. Much like the moon which you see today, maybe yesterday you have seen yesterday. So yesterday it was almost full, so today it is Balaram Purnim, Balaram's full moon. Inside the moon, see Lord Balaram appear. He's full of the lust of youth. He has a fair complexion, the color of a crystal. Lord Balaram wears blue garments, body like a crystal, but the garments are blue, and a garland of forest flowers. His handsome hair is tied in a graceful top knot. There is one splendid earring in one of his ears. His face is decorated with a very fine mark of tilak made from musk. Broad chest is decorated with red gunja berries. The splendor of Lord Balaram's transcendent form eclipses many millions of glistening, rising moons. Now turn in prayer to Lord Balaram. You've heard he is the older brother of Krishna and represents the Guru Tattva, the Tattva of the spiritual teacher who enlightens us and gives us strength. Whoever is your teacher, turn to him, and if you are a Gaudiya Vaishnava, turn to Prabhupada and say something real to them, a prayer, something real. Do this now. Breathe in deeply, three times, in and out. Bring your awareness back to your body. Stay a little in this space. Let the experience sink in. Oh, I hope it did work for you. I hope you could contact Balaram in this very, let us say, accessible and easy form. If not, if you were overwhelmed with so many thoughts, please try before you go to bed again to make contact with Balaram by a sincere prayer. Oh, my dear Balaram, please enlighten my heart. Please give me strength. I find myself surrounded with the material world, and it is not a comfortable place. All this, of course, when you are Neuropine, it's ecstatic all the time. But otherwise, so then you can have your nice experience with Balaram. He will be immediately there. I wish you all the best in your spiritual life. Let me just check what is next on our program. There was some meditation. Oh yeah, we do something that many of you have prepared, the Pushpanjali, the flower offering. Let us see if the flowers are ready. I will say goodbye to all of you on the internet. See you if you want tomorrow. Then we will be in the Berlin Temple. The Gokrishna Bhajan Band will be there, and we will have a lecture with different subjects. Hare Krishna.